Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, that which was our second scripture reading, rather. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and reading verse 18. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. In verse 18, the last verse of the chapter, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." And our subject this morning is the sorrowful pursuit of knowledge. The sorrowful pursuit of knowledge. Well, dear friends, we come this morning to these words before us in this Old Testament book. We're looking again at a passage in the Old Testament, and this time from the book of Ecclesiastes, which is one of the wisdom books of the Bible, written by the wisest man who ever lived, the man King Solomon. And it is clear that it is written by King Solomon because right at the very start in chapter 1, well, the introduction is given. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Well, that is King Solomon, the son of David, from the union between David and Bathsheba. And Solomon was king in Jerusalem, king over perhaps one of the most glorious times in the history of ancient Israel. And he was wise, the wisest man who ever lived. People would come from far and wide, from other lands, to hear King Solomon. We read of the Queen of Sheba, for example, who came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and she was astonished at all of his wisdom and all of his knowledge on so many things. He was an expert in every subject. And we see him here giving and presenting his wisdom for us to read even today. It is the inspired word of God. His wisdom, of course, came from God. And many will read these words, and many will say, and this is right to say this, that King Solomon here, he is at the very end of his life, or nearing the end of his life, and he is looking back over life, and he is making conclusions about life. This is what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. The wisest man in the world, King Solomon, he's coming to the end of his life. He's making conclusions. And the question really that he is trying to answer is this. Is life worth living? Is life worth living? That is really, well, at least one of the questions that King Solomon is asking here and is trying to get to the bottom of. Is life worth living? Well, that is a very important question, isn't it, right from the outset? I wonder if you were to go out onto the streets today and stop passers-by and ask them that question. Is life worth living? Would they be able to answer it? What would they say? Perhaps some would instinctively say yes. I think many would say yes, life is worth living. But I think they would find it hard to explain why. Why is life worth living? You say yes, it is worth living. But why is life worth living? What is the reason? That would be a lot more difficult to answer, especially if that person does not know the Lord. And in this book, just to mention at this point, in this book, there are essentially two viewpoints that are presented here. There is the viewpoint of a man who lives only for this world, a man who lives just for this life. You could say the natural man or the earthly man. There is one viewpoint presented concerning him, one set of conclusions for that kind of man and for that kind of life. But then there is another viewpoint that we see in this book concerning the man who is spiritual, who is heavenly, not earthly, the man who knows God and worships God. There is another viewpoint concerning him, another set of conclusions concerning him. And well, as we considered last week, these are the only two types of people on earth. When we see those two viewpoints, those are the only two viewpoints that are on earth. Ultimately, when God looks upon this earth, he doesn't divide us up into lots of different groups. There are only two groups, those who are heavenly and those who are earthly, those who live for this world, those who live for the next. It's as simple as that. And those are the two viewpoints that we see here. And these words that we're going to focus on in verse 18, really, this is the viewpoint of the earthly man, because it talks about grief, talks about sorrow. These are not heavenly things. This is the viewpoint, the conclusion of the man who lives for this life. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. This is, well, these are very solemn words. These are very challenging words. And perhaps we will hear challenging things this morning. But before we speak about these things, about how in much wisdom is grief and how in much knowledge there is sorrow, perhaps before we speak on these things, or before I speak on these things, I want to say or to explain that nothing I say this morning is meant to discourage you from pursuing after knowledge or from learning or from having an education. Education is good. Be as educated as you possibly can. But then we have these words here. And this word is pointing something very important out to us. There is a reason why these words are in this book. And the point that is really being made is this, that if all that you live for is the pursuit of knowledge, if that is all you live for, knowledge, learning, education, if that is your goal in life, if that is your God, well, that will only lead to grief. That will only lead to sorrow. That's the point. I'm not speaking against education, but if that is all that is in your life, well, there is something you must be aware of. That's what this wise man is teaching us about. In much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So this is going to be our theme this morning, quite unusual for a gospel message. And I'm going to take this very generally, first of all, before we begin to apply it spiritually. But what do these words mean? How can it be that in much wisdom there is much grief, and in much knowledge there is a great amount of sorrow? Well, first of all, let me begin by trying to explain this to you. This is emphasizing, the first thing this is emphasizing is that, well, when we acquire knowledge, it requires a great deal of effort. It requires a great deal of trouble and labor. It's not easy, in other words. It's not easy to acquire knowledge. It requires great discipline. It requires great strain, great study to read, to learn. It's difficult. It's a labor. It's a grief. Any student will tell you this. Perhaps the young people will know this better than anybody. Those studying for their GCSEs, A-levels, university. Many of our young people are engaged in these studies. Well, they will tell you it's hard work. Up till late, perhaps sometimes up all night, studying, reading. It's difficult to gain an education. And of course, these things can be grievous. For so many, it can affect people emotionally. People get very stressed over their studies. To acquire knowledge, it increaseth sorrow. It can be a source of great grief. There's so much pressure and anxiety because the fear of failure is so great. People think to themselves, I can't fail. This is everything to me. I've spent so much time studying. I've spent so much energy. Some people spend so much money. You go to university, you spend thousands of pounds on education and studying and acquiring knowledge. It's not easy. It's difficult. And so this at least is in part what this means. In much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. When we seek to learn, when we seek to be educated, it is a discipline. It involves labor and toil and much strain. This is how the pursuit of knowledge is. The pursuit of knowledge can be very frustrating because, it's not just about obtaining knowledge. You have to keep knowledge. If you learn a language, for example, if you're learning Spanish or French, you have to keep learning it for the rest of your life. I remember when I studied French at university to quite a high level. I was studying very hard, but you know, after only a few months after university, I began to lose it. And so you have to keep it up. You have to keep going. It's not enough just to obtain knowledge. You have to keep serving it. It's almost as though knowledge is your master and you have to serve it. You have to keep going. If you don't use it, you lose it. So it's always a continual discipline. It's hard. It's hard to keep learning and to keep up knowledge. All of these things are included here in this verse. It is a grief. It is a sorrow. It is a frustration. And of course, to acquire knowledge is frustrating in the sense that the more you know, the more you learn about the subject, the more you realize you don't know. And many wise men have said that. I think it was Aristotle who said it first. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. I think Einstein even said it at one stage. The most brightest men in history have all said this. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. It's almost as though the acquiring of knowledge is futile. It's vanity of vanities. Well, this is what he has said in this chapter. Vanity of vanity. Everything, all the labor under the sun, in a sense, it's not worth it at all. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And we see this in the world, even scientists. Scientists, when they consider the world around us, and the more they learn about biology and the natural world, they have to confess they don't really know anything about it at all. When they consider the universe and the vast expanse, the solar system, the galaxies that are beyond us, cosmology and quantum physics and all that, the more they know, the more they realize they don't know anything at all. So actually studying, it exposes our limitations. The more you study, the more you realize how limited you are in your understanding and your knowledge. And this is frustrating. It can depress you. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know at all. So this is part of what it means. In much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So man is limited, science is limited. And of course, science can never answer the question why. I emphasize this, I stress this very much with our young people. Science can never answer the question why. Why is the universe the way it is? Why is the world as it is? Why does man live as he does and behave as he does? Science cannot answer these questions. Science is good at answering how. How does the world work? How does this operate? How does that operate? It's all about the how. But the why, it cannot answer. Why are we here? What is the purpose of life? We know biologically how we are born. Science can explain that. But why are we here? What is the purpose? Why is there life in the world? Science cannot answer that at all. So, dear friends, this is what it means. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Studying, the acquiring of knowledge, actually reveals your limitations. And this is why it is a grief. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. But perhaps the most relevant application of these verses, and I'm going to begin to apply this spiritually now, is really the context in which the natural man lives. The natural man, the man who does not know God, what is his world like? Well, the world around us, as you will all know, is not a nice place. The world around us is a fallen place. We live in a sinful world. And isn't it true that the natural man, the more he learns about the world, the more he learns about his environment, what the world is like, what people are like, well, isn't it distressing? The more distressed you get, the more depressed you get, the more you learn about the world. Why, if you are a student of history, you learn world history. Well, it is such a sorry tale. It's not something that lifts you up. It's something that brings you down. When you learn about all the conflicts throughout history, all the violence, all the injustice that has gone on throughout history, all the oppression of people in so many lands all around the world, all the enslaving of people, the more you know about the history of this world, the more depressing it is, the more sorrow. You don't get lifted up. You realize that this world is a terrible place. The more you know, the more sorrowful it is. And well, even now in the modern world particularly, I know people. Well, somebody told me about somebody who had gone into the police force. I have to be careful what I say. We have a police officer in our midst. But somebody went into the police force. I think it was the Met Police. And he had to step down after only a few months. And why was that? Well, because he couldn't handle what he was seeing in the world around him. He entered into the police force thinking he could do some good. But when he saw all the crimes, when he saw how horrible people could be to one another, he couldn't handle it. He'd rather not know. The knowledge of it was bringing him down, was making him depressed. This is what it means. And so many other people, I know people, they don't watch the news. I often say this. They don't want to know what's going on in the world because the more they know, the more depressed they will be. They don't want to watch the news. You see, these words are very true. He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. We can understand it now. We don't want to watch the news. We'd rather not know because it's too bad. It's too sorrowful. Ignorance is bliss for some people. Knowing about these things brings too much sorrow. And perhaps this is why there are so many cases of people being so down, so depressed. Perhaps this is why people try to escape this world through so many means, through drugs and drink and computer games, because this world is so bad. We would rather not know about this world. The knowledge of sin, sinful world, makes us sorrowful. And this, well, it's all tied up with sin. By the way, let me bring this in. We considered this last week, but remember how sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You all know the account very well. But remember what they did. What did they do? They took from the fruit of that tree, that forbidden tree. Now, do you remember what that tree is actually called or what it concerns? It concerns knowledge. That forbidden tree, it concerns the knowledge of good and evil. And that's very intriguing. We haven't got time to go into it in great depth. But in one sense, the fall of man came about because man wanted knowledge. And specifically, they wanted knowledge of something other than God. That's how the fall of man came about. Because they wanted knowledge of something other than God. That was their great sin. They knew God. Of course they knew God. The great and glorious God, the Creator God, the God who is love, the God who is everlasting light. They knew the Lord, but what was their sin? They wanted to know something else. They wanted to know something that wasn't God, that was other than God. That was their great sin, and so that's what they got. When they took of that fruit, that was the knowledge that they got, knowledge of something other than God, knowledge of shame, knowledge of sin, knowledge of sadness, knowledge of death, of course. That's how death came into the world. They knew life. God is life. They wanted to know something else, so they got death. The knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is what they got. The fall of man, it was tied in with their wanting to know something other than God. Dear friends, we're running out of time already. Do you resemble that? You will meet people like this. I've met many people like this. They want to learn about anything except God. They are interested in knowing anything except about the Lord and talking about everything except God. That was just how Adam and Eve, that was their great error, their great failure. They wanted to know something else, dear friends. That is so foolish. Because, well, if that's how you live your life in this world, at the end of your life, well, that will be how it is for you. You will know something other than God. You will not know God. You will not die and go to be with God. If that is how you have lived in this world, you want to know something, anything else except God, well, at the end of the life, that is what you will get. You will not get God. You will get something else. Dear friends, this is what we have to learn. This is what this book is all about, the great theme of this book. Do we think about where we are going after this life? We will all come to the end of our lives. No matter how much you learn, no matter how great your knowledge, your education, it cannot keep you from death. There is, in a sense, there is no difference between the educated man and the uneducated man. There's no difference. They will both end up in the grave. Your education, your qualifications are not going to stop you from dying. There's no difference. The educated man, the uneducated man, they both end up in the same place. So if you want to be wise, you have to be prepared for what comes after this life. That's what true wisdom is. You're a fool if you just live for this life, for this world. That's foolishness. True wisdom, I must be prepared for the next life. I must be prepared for what comes after. We are in this world for such a short time. You know this. Some of you know this very well. We're on this earth and it goes so quickly. Before you know it well, you have to start thinking about the end of your life. Are you still living for this world? You have to start thinking about the next. Be wise. Don't ignore it. Think about what comes after. Think about eternity. And dear friends, of course, you must know Christ. Let us speak about Christ. If you know him, well, to know him, that is wisdom. To know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to be wise, wise in the sight of God, you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have any qualifications at all. Just know the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will declare you wise. Because in Christ, we read in Christ, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, not in the education system, not in a school, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. True wisdom, true knowledge in its highest sense, spiritual wisdom. Spiritual knowledge, eternal knowledge that transcends this world and this life, eternal wisdom and knowledge. This is what you have when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you know the truth. We often speak about this. If you want to be wise, if you want to have knowledge, it has to be rooted in truth. So many people spend so much time studying things that are not true. They spend so much time studying theories or ideas or opinions. So many of these university courses, they're just opinions or they're just studies even in things that are fictional, literature, movies even, media, cultural things. If you want true knowledge and true wisdom, it has to be based in truth. And what is truth? We all know what truth is. Truth is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge, wisdom, it has to be rooted in Christ, for he is the truth. And so we must seek him. Dear friends, do you know the truth about God? God so loved the world. Here's the truth about God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the truth about God. God sent his Son that whosoever believes in him would not perish, would not die. This is the way out of death. It's not worldly things, worldly knowledge. It's a knowledge of Christ, knowing him. Whoever believes in him shall not die. Why not? Because Christ died in our place. He died on the cross for us. Do you understand that? Do you understand what the cross means? Again, so many intelligent people in this world, so many educated people, and yet they do not know, they don't understand why Christ died on the cross, if you were to ask them. The greatest event in history, in human history, Christ on the cross, they don't understand it. Why did Christ die on the cross? Well, it was to take the punishment for our sin. We have all sinned. That's the truth about us. What's the truth about us? Well, the truth is that we are all sinners. And you know that causes us great sorrow, doesn't it? That which causes us the most sorrow, and I say this from time to time, that which causes us the most sorrow is not necessarily the things that people have done to us, the sins that people have committed against us. It's the things that we have done to others. That knowledge increases our sorrow, knowing what we have done, how selfish we have been, how wicked we have been, how hateful we have been. And we cannot escape that knowledge. Our conscience carries it. And it is something that weighs us down, that knowledge of our sin. It increases our sorrow and our shame. But dear friends, this is what the Lord has done for us. The Lord has said, believe in the only begotten of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay all your sins upon him. He will suffer and die for you. He will take the punishment for you, our substitute, our scapegoat. So all your sins can be forgiven, washed away, cleansed away. This is what Christ has done. We have sinned, yes, but Christ has died in our place. And so therefore we may be forgiven. Therefore we may have peace with God. Therefore we may go to heaven. This is a wonderful blessing to our souls to know this. This is the glorious gospel, and this is the knowledge that we must know. It's the knowledge, well, it's the opposite of the knowledge that we read in verse 18. Here, for the natural man, in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. But dear friends, when you know Christ, there is no grief. There is no sorrow. He takes away all of those things. He takes away all of your fears. You don't fear anything. You don't fear anything in life. You don't fear this world because Christ has overcome the world. That's what he said. And you don't fear death. because Christ has died for your sins. You know you are forgiven. You know that when the end of your life comes, you will go to be with the Lord. There's everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friends, do you know these things? This is what it is to be wise. Be wise unto salvation. Don't be foolish. Don't ignore this. Don't reject this. You know, one thing I have to say, perhaps before we close, just as a warning. There are some of you who have perhaps heard the gospel many times. You've heard about Christ and about his death on the cross many times. Well, if you continue to reject it and you die without the Lord, well, this will be true of you. He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. You will remember all the many times that you heard the gospel, all the times you heard it, all your knowledge. You heard it. You had so much knowledge of Christ in your life. But that will give you the greatest sorrow in eternity. I knew so much, and yet I never came. I never turned. I never repented. That will be your sorrow in that eternal place of sadness and grief, in that hell. I knew so much. I had so much knowledge. And yet all that that knowledge will do will contribute to your sorrow in hell. Dear friends, if you've heard the gospel, you must come. If you've heard it many times, there is an even greater obligation upon you to come. Because if not, well, this is how it will be. As you increase in knowledge, your sorrow will increase ultimately. Is it not easier just to turn to the Lord? Turn to him, learn of him. Yes, learn, have an education, be educated as far as you can. But this is the point, all that you learn, do it for the glory of God. Do it for Christ. Live for him. Apply all your learning, all your wisdom for him. And then it will be blessed. It will be truly blessed. True wisdom, true knowledge in Christ Jesus. Our Lord, turn to him this day, dear friends.